Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning. How many of you feel so refreshed with one extra hour of sleep? Wow. And the rest of you said, what? No, I stay up an extra hour. There's no way. One more show on TV or something. Anyway, well, some of you tried to trick to get you to come to worship practice. And nobody fell for that this morning. Everybody set their clocks ahead and enjoyed the extra hour of sleep. And now the light comes in the window a little bit earlier. Isn't that how it works? And goes down a little bit quicker. Hey, we have some great things to talk about in This Is My Story. But before we do, we have two special guests here today. My Facebook buddy and somebody who grew up in this church amongst some of these people, Esther Richardson, might be watching. I think she's watching by Facebook this morning, and she certainly knows this man, a minister in the Assemblies of God, serving down in the South Texas district. Now, that is a problem. It's kind of like being in Egypt, but we're believing that somehow the Lord will bring him back. Why don't you pray for those strays, right? So, but I have a brother in the Lord and an Assemblies of God minister, a fine minister of the gospel, and we love he and his wife. And we have Joel Neighbors with us this morning. And I'm going to invite him. Come and I want you to say hello. As you're coming, I do want to say this. Seated right beside him is somebody. We have gone and knocked every door in Lake Worth. And one day we went, stepped beside a motorcycle and knocked a door. And he said, well, I know where you're at because I used to be in that building. And I met Carlos Neighbors, your brother. And we have been praying for Carlos and his family as he has just recently suffered the loss of his dear wife. Had the pleasure and privilege of meeting her that day. They've been attending at another church. But every time you enjoy the nice cool air conditioning and heat, there's a couple people you need to think about. One is, the one most obvious, is Buddy McIntyre because of the maintenance that he continues on the system, right? But somebody did the installation, and somebody seated right here, Carlos Neighbors. And so I would like for you as a congregation to let him be welcome this morning. And they attended here in this facility when it was Lake Worth Assembly of God in Fellowship of Lake Worth. And they relocated from here to Azle. But also at the same time, if any time you feel the nice cool air, now if it gets too cold, don't blame him, blame me. If it's too cold or too warm, that's my fault, right? But the fact that we have some air conditioning and some heating in this building, think about him and pray God's grace and comfort and strength upon him. Because God is going to carry him and walk him and swaddle him, go before him and go behind him as he's walking this out. And so I just wanted to let you be aware that we have with us somebody that's special to us and we didn't even know it. And before the service is out, maybe as they leave, you can say, hey, thanks. I appreciate it. We'll work with Pastor on the thermostat control, but we want to thank you. There is something for the thermostat to control. And it'd be great if you'd hook Buddy and say, hey, you come out at the spur of the moment when Pastor calls you and you immediately solve the problem. If it's as simple as a broken wire or something more extensive, that we have people like this that minister. Amen? We thank the Lord for you. And thank the Lord for you, my Facebook friend. Come on over here, get in the picture. Stand right here. I just wanted to hand you this mic, give you an opportunity to greet this congregation before we move on with the service.
Well, good morning and blessings to every one of you. And Pastor Doug says that we are Facebook friends. We are that, but it's more than that. It's deeper than that. And I appreciate the fact that he is here. He is God's gift to this fellowship. Amen. I have a lot of memories here. I was saved right there, right there. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, back there. Be careful, back there. Okay. Surrendered to preach the gospel, right here, right here. I have a lot of memories here. Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, lots of ministry. This building holds memories for me, but it's all about the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. Somebody has to evangelize South Texas. Okay.
Yes.
And God sent us in a roundabout way to get us there, but this is home. And when I think about coming to this area, this is where I say, I want to go to church. My wife looked at me and said, we're going to be there over a Sunday. What's your plan? I said, unless something earth-shaking happens, I want to be at 4024 Dakota Trail. Well, she made other plans for herself, but my brother called me yesterday and said, are you going to church tomorrow? I said, yes, in Lake Worth. So I got a riding buddy. So, again, God's been good to us from right here, and it continues. Thank you, Pastor Doug, for welcoming us. We do feel at home. God bless you.
Bless you. Bless you, man. Don't you appreciate the sweetness of His Spirit? That's one thing. It's a powerful sweetness of His Spirit that the Lord's laid on your neighbors, and I count it a privilege to count Him friend and brother, as well as a co-laborer in the gospel. So that's part of our theme that we've been talking about. This is my story. And you got a snapshot of somebody who back not that too long ago was he a young man, and that happened in his life. But that's great to put that together. You've actually heard the condensed version of This Is My Story that just carries in his life. And now we're going to continue. We have a very special guest by way of video this morning. We're going to turn our attention to these video screens. Somebody is a part of our congregation as we go forward with This Is My Story. Church, and welcome back to another episode of This Is My Story. We have an opportunity today to hear about another story. What a great blessing. I want to emphasize to you once again that when we hear these stories, we should be reminded that it's some of the things that we want to think are too simple, not exciting, plain vanilla. What could this ever mean to anybody? You know how you've been stirred by hearing other people's story, and now we have another opportunity today to hear a new story. So in the back of your mind, be thinking, how does this relate to my story? What kind of story can I tell? What has God been doing in my life? What story is He writing with me? And so today we want to turn our attention to somebody who's been a part of our congregation for a while now, Miss Valerie Furness. And if you haven't seen her, it's because she's been behind you all the way. She has been back in the technology center. Sometimes she's tucked down behind that IMAX screen. And back there, she's every time I'm back there, and other times I hear her singing. So she's back there not only making the words possible on the screen, but she's also singing right along and participating with everything. And I'm just so glad that you're back there engaged, not playing around doing other things. And I'm so glad you take that seriously and make it part of your ministry and your worship to the Lord.
Oh,
so I want to introduce to you Valerie Furness. So Valerie, thank you for coming. And I know that's a big deal. You have to wrestle through some things, a couple things that maybe why should I do this or this feels like maybe I'm bragging on myself or something, but actually what we're doing is we're having an opportunity to say, really, this is the story. This is my story, but this is actually the story that the Lord has been writing in my life, and I'm beginning to see where His hand is at work and where He's actually authoring some things. And so we want to draw that out today. And so we'll just start right from the top and say, think of your overall family, and as you think about that, would you say your family history was religious? Was it involved in some big events religiously, maybe Christmas and Easter, or just little to none? So just share us with us. Bring us in up to speed and kind of catch us up where you're coming from. What's your background when it comes to your overall family?
My father was raised Quaker. from Pennsylvania. They were one of the original settling families in Pennsylvania. So he went to the Quaker church, which is just a room where you sit, and when the spirit hits you, you stand up, you say something, and you sit back down. And so he never really, I don't know if it was just that, but there was other situations in his life. He never considered himself religious or Christian or any connection to God. Was a biologist, and I think science was his God, basically. And then my mother was raised Catholic, but it was only go to church on big events Catholic.
Okay. All right.
And only in Latin because it's prettier.
Okay. So she was pre-Vatican II Catholic.
She likes the Latin service.
She likes the Latin service.
Yeah.
And now it's interesting, just to bring something, where the Quakers, it's more than somebody on a box of oats. Yes. I just want to let you know. But they did dress like that.
Yes.
Originally.
Yeah.
But do you know where they got the name, the Quakers, where that came from?
From shaking from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
From quaking or shaking from the Holy Spirit. And there was another group called the Shakers.
Yeah.
There was in Cleveland, Ohio, is a place called Shaker Heights.
That's where they're from, is Ohio.
Yeah, okay. Since I was born in Ohio, we had friends that were Quakers. They would call them the Friends.
Yep, Society of Friends.
And they would speak to each other and say, thee and thou and thy.
That's all the family reunion.
Yes. So he's from a rich heritage.
Yes.
In this country of some people that were devout and pilgrims, just original, very severely devout believers, Protestant believers.
Absolutely.
And how did he meet your mom? Catholic.
He was in the Air Force and she was at college and she was walking the strip and they happened to see her. So they started dating and got married.
Okay, you said she was walking the strip.
It was in Denton. There was like that little square they would walk.
Okay,
I'm thinking
Las Vegas. No. I hear walking the strip. I'm thinking Las Vegas.
No.
Okay.
No.
As in a visitor to Vegas. Anything else. No. Okay, everybody. Y'all behave out there.
Yeah. No.
So, okay.
No, he was in the Air Force during the Vietnam War. And so he was in the medical program for them. And they got married and got to Biloxi and then California.
Okay. So would you describe your family then as intact? Was it a broken family? We've heard of people who have been adopted. We've heard of people who were orphaned. How would you describe your family situation?
Well, my dad, I think he got his identity from work. And his mom passed away when he was 5. And he was kind of a love child between mom and a neighbor. So there was like always a whole thing. So he never really got parented, I guess. And so he felt more comfortable parenting by not being there. And so he was out of the house a lot of times. And then he would, they got divorced eventually when I was in high school.
Okay. So now were you here in Fort Worth?
Yeah. We've been in Fort Worth since I was 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a native Fort Worth girl.
Yeah.
Native Texan, native Fort Worth. Wow. Okay.
And something else that kind of goes with that broken family, though, is my sister is schizophrenic bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't get diagnosed until she was in middle school, which I guess is pretty typical with hormone changes and whatnot.
Yes.
But part of that is like the mental illness aspect of that and having that at teen age. Like we were always kind of taught, she and I, that was kind of dirty and that we needed to hide it. And then we didn't go to church and there were affairs for my father. So we always kind of felt like we didn't fit in and we just needed to kind of, I don't know, we just like we didn't belong. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you had an issue there with a distant father.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Even though at the time were they still married?
Still married.
He was just kind of disengaged.
Right.
Then you had an issue with your sister.
Yeah.
Dealing with mental illness, and society tends to shun because it's hard to understand. There's overreacting or triggering, what's wrong? What'd you do wrong? Or even worst case, when somebody labels it as merely a spiritual problem.
What
sin have you committed? Things like that.
Yeah.
And so what you felt was, because of all that, it ostracized you from the social atmosphere of being connected into the church.
Well, we weren't even a part of a church. Mom would try to go to church, and she would take us with, because we were trying to get our next sacrament, I guess. So we would try to go with, and then when we would come home on Sundays, it would be ridicule, like openly mocking and laughing at us. And so it was just kind of a point where it's like.
From your father?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we went a couple of times, but it wasn't. It didn't last very long, because that compounded with all of the mental illness issues, and it was a lot. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there was just a pile of things that really made it difficult. To even go to church.
To even think about going to church. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. A lot of times we don't realize some of the hurdles, and we want to almost minimize it and say, oh, come on, just go. You know, it's just a state of your mind or something like that.
Yeah.
And now, how powerful, this is going to be some speculation though, but how powerful would that have been if somebody who was part of a church said, look, I can see that, you know, there's a lot of challenges here, but here's how we can maybe open the door. Here's how we can invite you. Here's how we can help it be easier to get over this hump or this past this hurdle. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a word to us as a church, that there are people that they don't wear a sign around saying, these are the five reasons why I have to not come to church.
Yeah.
And it's hard for them to talk about, but if we could be sensitive to that, then maybe we could help build some bridges and make it a little bit easier.
But not only that, but Tiffany's schizophrenia too, as she grew, it became kind of melded with Christianity, but it was a morphed kind of not biblical Christianity. And so the more she got into that too, she would try to evangelize to the rest of the family, and it didn't make sense, and it sounded like fairy tales and wishes and Greek mythology, and she's not stable. So what she's connected with isn't going to be stable or well thought out or logical or make any sense or any of us want to be a part of.
Right.
And so as a result of that, my entire family was very anti-Christian for a long time. My mom still held on to her faith, but she just still does not talk about it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So describe your first encounter of anything to do with anything of any kind of religion. Maybe that will be, you may feel as a little repetitive, but maybe you want to expand on that.
I think just my the biggest part was with my sister, initially getting tied into different churches. She would become a member. She would talk to somebody, and then she would come back and tell us that they told her not to take medication. And so then she would go off her pills because they were going to pray for her. And then she would be back in the hospital, locked up somewhere, or we wouldn't be able to find her, or she got banned from five different churches too. So who knows even what happened there? And so then it's like, well, what happened to Christian love? Like, what is going on? Like, so the whole thing to us was kind of tainted.
Now, how old was she when she kind of started this? You know, going to church on her own. It sounds like she was going to church
on her own,
but filtering it all through this mental illness, this perspective.
College
age.
Yeah.
Okay. So ironically, the one who was kind of most active and maybe recognized her greatest need.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Was ironically put in the position where these filters were then causing some problems, heartburn for the rest of the family.
For everybody else.
Tainting the whole world.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So describe when you first heard the basic gospel message.
It wasn't until I met Greg.
Okay.
So 42.
Wow. So
till then,
with a father that's Quaker, a mother that's Catholic, you have been in some Catholic church.
I've been to Methodist churches. I've been to Quaker churches. I've been to, Catholic ones. I don't speak Latin, so that didn't do me any good.
Right.
But I did not hear the true message until I started dating Greg and saw it.
Okay. And where was it you saw it and heard it?
When he and I first started dating, he would say certain things. He would talk about the love of God. He would talk about the joy of God. He, our first date, he started talking to the waiter And before we knew it, the waiter was seated at our table, and he's talking to him about his father, about the one true father, and about the love of God and what Christ did for us. And I'm just like, you know, this was like completely foreign language to me. I was like, what is happening? Because this isn't my experience with Christians, first of all. And who talks like this? And it's like, who's received like this? And I was like, he's like an alien. Like, I didn't even know how to perceive it. I had to go home and Google a bunch of stuff.
This is on your first date?
This was like our first real date.
He's a fanatic.
I was like, I have to Google some stuff. Like, I don't even know what's happening right now. So, but I was intrigued because there was like this inner joy and this peace in him.
Okay.
And he was like loving and sweet and like so respectful. And I was like, so I was like, okay, I've got to hang on. I'm going to see how far I can go without completely jumping in and see, you know, what this is about. This is what my idea was. Well, I'm just going to keep Googling and see what's happening here, because this is interesting, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. Now, I'm curious. I'm not fishing too far here, because that's on down the road, but where was he? Is this because of his past experience in church? Was he currently in church? Was he here at this church, or was he out of church at the time?
He had been going to church, and then he was out of church, and that was a deep hunger for him. He was like, I need to get back into a church. Church is very important. I was like, it's a building. Like, I don't really get it. I'm like super not helpful with this because I don't understand it all. And he was like, no, you don't get it. So I was like, okay, well, I don't understand. And it wasn't until we had Levana's wedding that I was like, hey, that Doug guy seems kind of nice. I'm like, oh, he seems pretty normal. Let's try there.
He's not. Yeah. He's not. We found out later when it was too late. He's not. He's not. So in connecting with Greg,
right,
you were observing this simply in the way he lived life.
Yeah.
How he interacted with the waiter.
Humbleness, was always willing to serve other strangers, random people on the street, server, like whoever, willing to start servant's heart, super respectful. I mean, it's just.
So you were seeing something saying, I think this has got a resource to it that's more than just like average human stuff. This is more than just being a nice guy. This is more.
Yeah.
So isn't that interesting? What I want us to hear, what I want us to connect to here is that in simply the way we live our life, going to a restaurant, interacting with the wait staff, interacting with people, how we treat them with respect, how we talk to them, if our heart is right with the Lord, that in those interactions, something powerful happens. It's powerful enough for a waiter to want to sit down and hear more.
Yeah.
And you got to sit and watch that.
Yeah. And what a blessing that was to me, because I had just, you know, I had such walls up about that. And I was kind of like, I'd been around my dad for years where science is king. It's got to be logical. You can't see it. It's not real. It's like that whole paradigm. Mm-hmm. And then to see like, well, my dad's pretty miserable and he's kind of unhappy and look at this guy. Like, okay. It's so different. He has this inner joy that I've never seen before. And I just was like.
Okay. So are we hearing, do we hear this? That in a mundane, normal, everyday circumstance, because of the connection we have with the Lord, someone else can pick up on that joy or that hope and that intangible. That's called irrational, by the way. Love, hope, confidence, these things are defined as irrational things.
Yeah.
The interesting contrast is that you have a father who is a scientist. He's a materialist. It's what you can see, touch, taste, hear.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yep.
I said see already.
Measure.
Feel. Measure something. There's five senses,
yeah.
And they tend to operate simply in the realm of what's real, what's tangible, right, or what's called a materialist. What's ironic is he came out of a spiritual background. He was influenced by a spiritual background, yeah, arguably shaped him in some way.
Yeah.
That has its name for people responding to the presence of the Holy Spirit by some sort of physical manifestation of a supernatural reality.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is what you encountered with Greg in a restaurant was a supernatural reality of an irrational thing, but it wasn't spooky or weird.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And that's what got your attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what seized. And yeah. So obviously, because you went out again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then you went out again.
One more time.
Yeah. did you go out again?
We kept okay. going.
By the way, y'all still going?
Still going.
Okay, all right. Okay, so now we come to this question. Describe your born again experience. Now, I'm assuming that you have been because you answered so when you applied for membership.
I did.
Okay. So let's walk through that a bit because kind of connect us with what happened that you became born again.
Okay. It's not like I can't put my finger on one single tiny moment, but it was coming here. It was hearing the sermons, and some of them, I think you said just to me. There was one about Simon Peter, and we talked about God meets you in your place and then brings you back where you're supposed to be or something. And I was like, and it just hit me. Like that was I went home immediately. I bought a journal. I bought a Bible. And then I had to listen. I tried to find where it was on the podcast, and I just replayed it until then. There was one part that was smudgy. So I had to text Levana to see what it said. So I mean, that struck me. And so then I was like, that connected with me. So after that point is when I started talking to you, and I wanted to see, okay, what do I need to do for this baptism stuff? I think I've been baptized. It kind of counts, right? And you were like, no. And then you put me on my slow growth plan through Facebook. And so, but that was like the best thing for me because I was ready to immediately, okay, we gotta start a list A, B, C, D, and let's check them off real fast. And you were like, okay, we're gonna meet again next week and talk some more. And it was like, he's never gonna let me be a member.
So we used Facebook and we texted or private messaged back and forth, and I walked her through the biblical stand. Well, here's why we get baptized, here's what it's about. And what I really appreciate about Valerie, she has a voracious hunger to know. And there is a spark in her. And it was obvious to me that the Lord had really seized her. I first met her at Levana's wedding when Alki and Levana were married here in this church. And then next thing you know, whoop, Greg comes in with Valerie and says, I threatened you that I was going to come. And there's Valerie. And she is asking questions, and it's obvious that her bell was being rung.
Yeah, I think the first sermon, we came back to Levana's place afterwards, and I was like, what's agape mean? And they were like, oh, my gosh. Have a seat.
Here I thought I explained it. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Okay. What she was doing is she was encountering agape love. She was encountering this love of the Lord. She was encountering this intangible power.
Yeah.
That it just captured your attention.
It was like falling in love. I felt like I was just like lit up inside. Like I just had this peace and this joy. And there was like all this turmoil around me at that time in my personal life that I was fine. Like I was just calm and lit up from inside. Is what it felt like.
So what happened was the Holy Spirit connected with you. Yes. You became born again. Jesus said, except a man is born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So she comes alive, and then she says, okay, what's this membership baptism stuff?
Yeah.
And you're coming from a little bit of Catholicism and a smidgen of some Quaker tradition.
Yeah.
And basically, you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing.
And so, so you're born again. And now I think when you're talking about the born again experience, what you're saying is, now I had like a light inside. It was like falling in love.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he is love.
Yeah.
So
that makes
ding,
sense.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay.
Yeah.
You're hitting the target there.
Yeah.
And you have now this transforming thing
that's
going on inside. You can't explain it. You don't know all the, you're not a theologian.
I don't know
yet.
Any of the stories.
You don't have all the stories.
I don't know the people's names or the places.
So, what we realize is she comes, a babe in the woods. She has no clue. She's starting from ground zero.
I got my new kid card. I got it all.
Your new kid card. Yeah. Okay. And so then we say, let's go through and let's describe what baptism is really about.
Yeah.
And she asks excellent follow-up questions. And then we go through a Bible study. And then finally we go to Trevino Pool.
Yeah.
On a Memorial Day, I believe it was.
It was hot.
Was it hot? Was it Labor Day?
It was about to rain or something. Okay. And then it stopped. The clouds parted. A cool wind came. And I got baptized. And it was all perfect.
So I'm curious because I'm not sure that we ever talked about this. So when you got baptized and after you got baptized,
yeah.
Can you think of there was something, I know that the clouds parted,
yeah.
But, and not necessarily that an angel came down and troubled the waters or something.
No.
But is there, what do you see as a definite difference between before you were baptized in water and after you're baptized in water?
Before I was baptized in water, I was, like I said, I got that journal. So I got touched. And so I got that journal, but reading through it, it's like I was picking and choosing random Bible verses and everything was about me, which I don't know how that works, but whatever.
It starts out that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's how it started.
The Lord understands.
He was like, poor thing.
He says, you think it's all about you. You'll figure out pretty soon that it's not all about
you.
It's not
you at all. But through that process, though, once I got the baptism, then I was like, I didn't want to just see me in it. I wanted to know him in it. And so then I would have these journal sessions where I would be reading in order because we had started Genesis Truth Seekers at that time.
Right.
And so it was like, it was the perfect timing for that because I didn't know how to study the Bible and I just was learning through you how to study and how to read through it and make those connections. And it was just it's perfect.
Perfect. Isn't the Lord's timing amazing?
He's so good.
And so we go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and some Bible reading and you found yourself growing.
Yeah.
Growing in depth knowledge of the word and making the connections and seeing how it all comes together.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not because I've stood there and said, no, I'm going to tell you how to understand this.
No.
Rather, I said, here, you look at this and look at that, and look at this. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly why. So now as I'm reading them, I'm like, I wonder what else that word can mean. I wonder what else they define it as. So I'm going over there, got all my technology, Googling it.
Right. Okay. So. It seems to me that after the baptism in water, because we talk about being born again, baptized in water. Sometimes somebody's born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then baptized in water. It seems to me that you were also seeking for everything God had for you, possibly the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking that we had an event where possibly you were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think mine would be more like a Tasha experience where I was just kind of babbling, whisper babbling.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I work on it, but it's not easy. I'm still working on it.
Just kind of connecting with him, letting him flow.
Yeah,
it's kind of releasing.
It's a different, and I think too, a part of especially with my background, I had boxes of okay, you can't come in here, God. This is an area I can't let you in yet. And so trying to clean that out and let him in to everything. And I think that's what's probably holding me back the most is just.
Have you noticed that he doesn't just kick the door down and say, I don't care what you say, I'm coming in here. You notice that God doesn't do that?
He's very kind.
he's very kind and patient.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's precisely what's going on.
Yeah.
He says, we'll work here. And then eventually we'll bring this up and then we'll do this. And he doesn't come kicking doors down. I mean, he can create a sun.
Yeah. An ocean.
He can put 100 billion stars in place in a galaxy.
And knows them all where they're going.
And then he comes to you and says, how about it? And if you say, well, not today, he goes, well, let me check with you tomorrow.
Yeah. It's kind of like you have this bridge that has fissures in it. People can drive over it and not notice the fissures. But then God comes with his giant God truck and it's going to make the whole bridge explode. So there's stuff happening all the time. Like I'm still, I battle different things. And so, but that's part of it. You just got to keep reading. And keep
rebuilding,
praying.
Reconstruction. So he's still working on you, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got lots of edges.
So I think what we've also heard here is how you connected to Vision Church.
Yeah.
It was through a wedding.
Well.
Okay, so tell me a little more.
The main thing, too, remember I had this disconnect for me. Church was this place where we weren't allowed. We were dirty. Tiffany was different. And so we couldn't, we didn't mix well. And so our first time coming into Vision Church, Sarah was in the second pew sleeping. And so it was just like, and everybody was like just so welcoming and people were different and it was okay. And everybody was kind and everybody was allowed to worship in the way that they wanted to. And so it was just, okay. I can do this. This is going to be an okay place.
Wow. Yeah. So do you hear that, Vision Church? People are kind and accepting. Yeah. And if somebody has differences, a little bit of strangeness or something like
that's
that,
perfectly.
They are still perfectly okay and they're welcomed. And the Lord knows that. So what did he do? He brought Valerie with all these things that we don't know about in your life. And you come in the door and go, oh, these people make me feel welcome.
Yeah, they ministered to me just by being themselves. And it was perfect. Perfect.
And some of you think you have to do really unique things in order to minister to somebody. And then you find out that the Lord uses you right where you are, as you are.
Absolutely.
And infuses you with his spirit and then works you.
Yeah.
And so here you are now. You're a member of Vision Church. You're born again, baptized in water, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Growing in your faith,
yeah.
Knowing the Lord, knowing his word.
Yeah.
And I've been watching you over the course of a couple of years now, or a year and a half, 2 years, and going, she just asks the right questions and she responds and gets a hold of something and starts working on it and comes back later and says, I've been reflecting on this. And so what you have been doing is you have been obedient and responsive to the Lord.
Yeah.
Not perfect in your obedience,
mm-hmm.
Nor am I,
yeah.
But finding that he's been transforming and changing you.
The first day of Truth Seekers, I felt like the little slow kid stuck in the advanced class. And that's why I was like, Greg, you have to come with. I don't understand what they're even saying. I was like, I can't even write it down, some of it. He was like, okay. So that's, you just got to keep going. You just
right.
keep at it. And eventually.
Isn't it amazing when you get
together.
In the stream, you
yes.
feel overwhelmed,
yes.
but there's some coaching on, check this out. Look at this.
Yes.
Watch this. And you start to see the connections be made.
Yes.
And something strikes inside your heart.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you have a hunger and a passion for the Lord, for his word.
Yes.
And it's just obvious, should be obvious to everybody.
Uh-huh.
And here she is serving, working back in technology, helping us in Facebook and other things. And so we're just so glad that God gifted you to Vision Church.
Thank church for you.
And I think that the Lord gifted Vision Church to you.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So, Valerie Furness, I think you can say, this is my story.
Oh, this is my story.
All right. Thank you, Valerie, for sharing your heart. And thank you for opening your heart and welcoming Valerie and continuing to love her.
Wow. Can't you just feel his presence? I think we can feel some agape, can't we? And just what a privilege, because while we're dragging through things and fighting through things and we're thinking about, Lord, we're not big enough. Lord, we're not sharp enough. Lord, we're not dressed well enough. Or Lord, we're not in the best location. And all the other things that we can confront ourselves with and excuse ourselves really from doing something, but by showing up and smiling and social distancing, hugging, elbow knocking, this was back before COVID, and just letting people feel welcome that may not be welcome anywhere else. And then here's what the Lord has said to Vision Church. This is what I want you to hear. The Lord said, you know what? I can trust those people. Here's somebody who's come out of a home that's hurting and has had a smidgen of the gospel in it. and finds now this girl, Valerie, who is totally separated, one generation from a Quaker heritage. Astounding. One generation. But who knows the prayers of those previous generations, those people who quaked and shook under the power of the Spirit and wept for the coming generations. And this is powerful. And the Lord says, I hear that prayer, and I see that church, and I can trust Valerie to them. And then she sits there in connection with Greg and watches how he deals with a waiter. And here I thought it was all about the power of the preaching of the word. It's all a part of it. It's all a part of it. And he seizes her heart, and then she sits there and opens her heart to the word. And just so happened that we start a Genesis study in True Seekers, and just so happens all of this. And she sits there feeling like there's a fire hose been turned on her with a great pressure and flow of the living water of God. And she knows there's life here. There's life here. She connects in. And what do you know? Growth is happening. Somebody who was lost was found. Somebody who didn't have a clue of anybody in the Bible now can say, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And now she has reams and reams and journals and questions and questions. And life is happening. Don't you see life happening in Valerie? Why don't you affirm her by giving the Lord a hand clap? So there's two prayers we can pray. The first prayer, the first challenge I want to issue to somebody on the internet: the Lord sees you. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows right where you are. Maybe you're watching this and you don't even know Jesus. You don't know even the first thing. You can know just from this story, in the texture of a plain vanilla person, not a preacher, somebody who's simply living for Christ, imperfectly responding to his challenges. And what you're sensing is, I wonder if he could do that in my life. And I want to answer and say, yes, absolutely. And you know how it can start? By simply saying, Lord, if you're really there, if you really exist, if you really love me, if you really have a plan for my life, if somebody might have been calling my name in prayer, this would be a good time, Lord, for something to change in my life and for you to draw me to yourself and for me to let you. And you can make that choice right now in your heart. It can happen. I want us as a congregation to pray a rededication style of prayer. And just go to the Lord and say, Lord, in our plain vanilla-ness, in our building that was built in 1961, through the love and concern of people who love people and the gospel and sacrificed and gave property, worked hard, built buildings, and envisioned the day. They envisioned something in 1959 and 1960 and on back in that ministry, that even though the name of the building would change and another congregation would come and be in here, guess what? This land was dedicated to the Lord. And we're not at cross purposes. We're with the purpose of the cross. And those prayers and those sacrifices and those gifts, we just continue that. And we merge our vision with that version. And say, in our plain vanilla-ness, in our... wherever we're ranked socially, wherever we are in our culture, Lord, would you put a burden in our heart through this once again? Would you refresh that burden for lost people? And would we rededicate ourselves to loving whoever comes in that door, however they're dressed? And you know what I mean when I say, even if it's a man dressed as a woman or a woman dressed as a man, that we would be daring to hear in this. The Lord is not saying, thumbs up, I approve of that. No, no, no. He sees beyond the clothing down into the depths of their spirit, and that he would say, I know just the church that I can trust with somebody who's not even born again yet. And they'll model my heart and my love, and then I can break through and I can bring them to myself. And I can trust this group that we would just let something happen in our heart, maybe that's never happened before. Maybe we could say, Lord, it's just never happened. I've really never had a burden for the lost like I need to have. I'm convinced that we as a church really need to up our game, and it's going to take a burden for lost people that we've never had before, that I've never had before. Let me say, as your pastor, I'm going to stand before you and say that I have a heart for lost people that I've never had before. That if it takes God putting a new heart in me, that he would do that. And that you would join me in that and say, Lord, break my heart, reshape my heart, bring some heat to my heart, whatever it takes, let's do something so that you can trust us as a church and that you can release us as a people on our job, in our home, in our neighborhood, wherever we are, to really connect with you and really connect your heart to people with a new burden for the lost. Would you join me right now, right where you're seated? You don't even need to stand up. So, Lord, right here, we're in your presence. We just feel like we're in your presence. We just feel like you have desaturated this atmosphere this morning. And you are calling us to cast all of our cares upon you. You're pulling us close to yourself, and you're wanting us to experience something of your nature and of your heart, this passion that you have for us, and this passion that you have for lost people who don't even know they're lost, for broken lives, for wasted gifts and talents that are being destroyed and ripped apart by the enemy. So, Lord, we're in your presence right now, and we just ask you, Holy Spirit, we're giving you permission. Would you settle in upon us, every one of us in this building? And would you settle in upon our spirit? Would you settle in upon our heart? And would you give us a new heart? We're asking for a creative work. Pastor Cindy's connecting with this as she's challenged us to do more than just a one and done. She's catching the vision of this. She's connecting with this. She's affirming this. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And you really want us, Lord, to be a people, every one of us at Vision Church, collectively and individually, to be a church that during all these challenges of COVID and the frustration and not being able to get together, all of that, everything that could be used to diminish the power of the church, Lord, that you would release us into a new spirit, into a new heart, with a new burden, a new vision for lost people. That our eyes would weep again, that our heart would be broken once again, and that we could move into a place as a church where without hesitation, Holy Spirit, as you're hovering upon Lake Worth, you can say, I know just the church. I know just the people that I can trust with that broken spirit, with that broken soul, with that broken body, with that broken life, because they call upon me constantly to have a heart like that, to have a burden like that. And we're asking, we're inviting you, Holy Spirit, to settle in upon us and bring a creative work to us. Let us become impassioned like never before. Put a new heart in us. Call us into a fresh place of loving people and accepting people and then getting the word of God to them and breaking the bread of life with them and putting an arm around their shoulder and saying, here, let me show you how you can walk. Let me show you the way out of that. There's hope. There's possibility. Lord, mold us together with that. Put a new vision in us. Put a new fire in us. If we've never had it before in us, put it in us for the first time. If we've had it in the past, back in 1970-something, Lord, we're asking for it to be in 2020 and moving forward. A fresh touch, a fresh burden, a fresh fire, and a new burden for the lost. especially in this hour, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. The Lord bless you and the Lord bless you. We hope to see you this week on Tuesdays as True Seekers, on Wednesdays as the Wise and Wonderful. And Pastor Steve's on the mend. He says he should be 100% by Wednesday. Keep praying for Steve and Becky as they have some physical challenges. And we love you if you're watching. Lord bless you. And we'll see you next week. Lord bless you as you go.